We have spent our summer going through what's called Change for Change, with the idea being that if we can begin to change areas of our lives as God leads us to them, as we change those areas and become more and more like Him, then that gives us the capabilities to help bring about change that we see that needs to take place in our world, or change that needs to take place in our community, or change in our church, or change in our families, or change in things that we care about, things that God motivates us to do. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've started more specifically looking at how do we actually take the change that we see God calling us to bring about, how do we actually begin to implement that and actually begin to make those changes happen. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at a story about a guy by the name of Nehemiah. It's an incredible story in the Bible, and we've been watching how Nehemiah was called to bring about change, and we've seen how he has begun to do that. And so we've used his story to be the guide for how we would bring about change that God calls us to. Quick recap of the story up until to where we're at today. The story takes place in 444 BC, so a while ago. At this point in history, the walls of Jerusalem have been completely knocked down. They've been torn down for about 100 years by this point. And for a city at that point in history, if your walls are down, that means you have no defense. That means there's no security. I mean, there's nothing there. The walls are down, so the people are depressed. The people of the city are hopeless. A lot of them have been drug off into captivity. They feel as if as a city, as a people, they're never going to recover. The best days for Jerusalem are in the past, and as a people, they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed for God, they're embarrassed for themselves, they're embarrassed for the way that they've treated life and handled the situation, and so it's a mess. Nehemiah is a guy who lives 1,000 miles away. He's from Jerusalem, and he hears about his parents or whatever, ancestors are from Jerusalem, and he hears about what's going on there, and he's like, man, this is terrible. This is what we got to get this fixed. He's just devastated by the fact that his hometown, the walls are down. So he decides he's going to take action and fix it. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, Nehemiah's job is he's a cupbearer. Basically, what a cupbearer does is when the king wants to have a drink of wine or wants to drink anything, the cupbearer takes the glass, drinks it first, makes sure it's not been poisoned, and then, assuming the cupbearer doesn't die, he then hands the drink to the king. So it's a pretty important job, but pretty expendable, right? You're like, well, they don't have a lot of big dreams for me. They just want to, like, if he keels over, done, right? So Nehemiah is not this big, woo, like, not a lot of people leading him or thinking he's going to do amazing things. But Nehemiah decides he needs to make this change of rebuilding the wall. He feels this calling from God to return to Jerusalem and fix it, to rebuild it, to bring health to the city, to help the people be restored and once again feel like there's something there. So Nehemiah goes to the king, he goes to his boss, and he's like, hey, listen, this is what I want to do. This is why I want to do it. I want to help restore my people and restore the city, and can I go? And the king's like, sure, we can find somebody else to sip wine and die. So they say, Nehemiah, you can go. So Nehemiah, before he goes to the king one more time, and he's like, hey, listen, there's going to be some people that are going to oppose what I'm about to do. Would you provide me some letters for protection that we can give to the other kings? And then also, would you be willing to make a donation to the cause? And he asked the king for lumber, and the king's like, sure, I'll give you lumber, so that he can use the lumber to build the gates. So now Nehemiah goes about the process of actually bringing the change. He returns, he goes back to Jerusalem, and he's in the process, and he's building, and he really has no experience with this. He's not a trained wall builder, or he's not a construction guy. His job has never entitled that or had that be something that he should do. He just decided he was going to do it. And God used Nehemiah specifically because of the fact that Nehemiah had a passion. Nehemiah had it laid on his heart how critical this was, and he decided it needed to happen. And so God said, because your heart, because your passion is to do this, we're going to let you make it a reality. Not because you're qualified, but because you're passionate about seeing it take place. And there will be things that God will come and begin to speak to your heart about. There will be passions that God will begin to instill in you about changes, about things around you that need to happen. And God will lead you to bring those changes, not because you're qualified, not because you even have experience to do it, but because you're passionate about seeing it happen. God will move you to be a part of that change. Now, if you've ever been a part of change, one of the things that you know is the reality of what we're going to talk about this morning. And the reality is that when you and I bring change, it often includes discouragement. When I put that little point together right there, I really did not want to use the word often. But I recognize that there's one or two of you here that may have helped bring about change at some point and you didn't get discouraged in that moment. I have recognized that pretty much every single time I've been a part of helping bring change, there was discouragement. And maybe the only time I wasn't discouraged when I was bringing change was when I was changing my kids' diapers. And really, most of the time when changing a diaper, there was discouragement as well, unless you know, it smelled like there was a real disaster, and then I got in there and it was just a smoke screen, and like, thank goodness, right? But most of the time, I'm like, this is terrible. Like, change is discouraging. Whatever you're changing, whether you're helping rebuild a wall, or whether you're trying to mend a relationship, whether you're trying to fix an injustice, or you're trying to rearrange the priorities in your family or your finances, or changing a diaper, there are unexpected messes and discouragement all along the way. Now, I hate to keep running with this diaper idea for a minute, but hold on to the reality of this, because the deal is this. We don't face opposition because we're doing something wrong. We face opposition because we're doing something right. Changing a diaper is not wrong. It's the right thing to do, but there's opposition. Nehemiah rebuilding the wall wasn't wrong, but the opposition came. Mending a relationship or fixing an injustice or managing your finances in a new way. Those things aren't wrong. In fact, they're right. They're very right. And there will be opposition. Sometimes it might just be like, man, this has taken way more effort than I ever thought it was going to take. Man, this is not going as fast as I thought it was going to take. I thought people were going to join in and see the value in this and they were all going to rally and we were going to... It might get to the point where you're like, is this ever going to happen? Man, it feels like we set out to accomplish this thing. There was this change that needed to take place. Oh. But the truth that you and I need to understand is that discouragement will come. Discouragement will happen when we're attempting to bring about change. And if we can begin to be able to deal with this question and answer this question of where will the discouragement come from, if we can answer that, we'll begin to see and anticipate where the discouragement's going to come from and be able to deal with it and manage it better. For Nehemiah, he was this incredible example for us of someone that faced discouragement, who had to deal with discouragement, and then he managed to overcome it and accomplish and move through it. Even though what he was doing was right, the opposition or the discouragement came, and he pushed through. And as much as you and I can begin to understand and embrace and just recognize, I'm going to do something right. The change that we're moving for is something that needs to take place. It's going to be tough. It will come with some discouragement. But the chances of us being successful in overcoming that discouragement is anticipating that it's going to happen. Because the reality is this. If God has called you to do something, if there's a change that is going to take place because God laid it on your heart and said, I need you to do this. Here's something that should happen. If God is calling you to do it, you should rest assured that Satan desperately wants to stop that. Satan desires more than anything to change or prevent the change from happening. Because if he can throw discouragement in, if he can convince you that it's worth just giving up, then the change doesn't actually happen. So then we just stay frustrated and defeated in our debt. And Satan's like, yeah. Or the injustices in our world, they don't get touched. Or the messy diapers are ignored and the smell just lingers. And the crying doesn't stop. If Nehemiah had allowed the discouragement to win out, if he didn't fight through it, if he didn't go, man, this change has got to take place, then the wall never would have been built. The city never would have been restored. They would have remained in that same situation. The people never would have regained hope. They never would have begun to have a future again. The city would have just laid in ruins. So where does discouragement come from? It comes from two places. The first place is discouragement will come from the outside. There will be external forces that Satan will put into place that he will begin to use to bring discouragement. Discouragement to the point that you feel like quitting. In the Bible, Satan is often referred to or is referred to as this lion, this big roaming lion who's seeking and looking, and he's coming in, and his goal is to destroy and devour you. Obviously, we all know that the lion is a part of the cat family, which means that cats are obviously a part of the devil. And they are looking to destroy you, so you need to watch out for cats. Now, this was all planned. This next part is totally true. This morning, I pulled in, parked in my parking spot, and as I parked and looked up, two cats came out of the car in front of me and sat there and stared me down. I am not kidding. I had to honk my horn. They ran away. I was like, that's right, Satan, get out of here. Tried to get in my way. Listen to Nehemiah's story. Nehemiah, it's about almost halfway through your Bible. The scripture is going to be on the screen as well as it's in your message notes. So Nehemiah, they've started the wall. They've started the process. People are working. It's happening. Listen for the discouragement. It might be hard to find if you're not a biblical scholar, but I think you'll catch it. Here's what it says. It says, when Sanballat, just this annoying guy, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite jumped in and said, Tobiah was at his side and said, what they are building, even if a fox climbed on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Hey, you don't know what you're doing. You guys can't complete this project. Hey, even if you managed to build it, tiny little animals could make it fall down. For starters, let me just point this out. Sometimes those people that are trying to discourage you aren't really all that qualified. Like, I think the fox comment is kind of ridiculous. Honestly, I mean, like, I think Tobiah, here's what I think is going on. There's Sanballat, and he's up there, like, yelling, like, you're terrible, you can't do this. And then Tobiah is kind of like his little yappy dog, like, sidekick guy. He's like, what he said. Yeah, and if you build it, a fox will knock it down. And Sanballat's like, shut up. I got this. Dude, I was throwing plenty of insults. I don't need the fox comment. Right? I got it. But the comments still came, whether you think Tobiah knows what he's doing or not. Discouragement still came from the outside, and discouragement will come from the outside in two ways. First, it will come with obstacles. There will be obstacles. You're moving forward. Things are looking good. It's working. God is doing something. Things are great. The wall is being built. You're bringing changes. Something gets in the way. I've spoken from time to time about how the leadership of this church several years ago started to say, you know what? God's calling us to do something different. God's calling us to try and develop a church that's different than what any of us had ever experienced. We wanted to begin to create, develop a church where somebody could come in no matter where they were at in their life, regardless of the issues they faced or the struggles they've had or the past that they've had, whatever the questions they've had about God or religion or whatever it would be, that this would be a safe place to land. We wanted to create a church where it didn't matter how much background in church you had, you didn't have to know all the stand up, sit down, you didn't... Theologically, you didn't have to have a lot of background. You could fit in and begin to allow God to reveal his plan to you. Regardless of your background, you could begin to understand that God had a direction for your life. We also wanted to create a church where it was fun and casual, where as the leaders of it, not only would other people be comfortable coming, we actually wanted to attend. We wanted to be like, this would be a church that I would go to. Because I've honestly worked at a couple churches where if they weren't paying me, I wouldn't have shown up. Like, maybe that sounds horrible, but God's like, hey, this is the church for you. This is where you're supposed to be. You need to bring some change or help with some things. And I'm like, this place is terrible. We thought it'd be important that we begin to develop a church where we would actually want to go. And not only a church where we would want to go, but that our kids would also be like, yeah, I'd like to go to church. And so we started developing those things and working on all of those things. And I would say that last October, it was flying. Man, things were going great. We had teams were just built and exploding, and we were doing amazing things, and we were clicking, and it was... And then we started to run into some obstacles. It hadn't stopped us, but we started to run into obstacles that we hadn't seen before. This building has got some serious needs. Like, it's always had some leaking issues, but now when it rains, it's like... gushers, you know, we set up the umbrellas. And when it rains, like, not only has the rain like come into the building, now it started to knock out lights and outlets, and we're like, man, how are we going to deal with that? Our furnace died last winter. We had our insurance company call us around October last year and say, so we as your insurance company failed to bill you for the last year. You need to pay us for that. Like, what? The intern house that sits behind here, like all kinds of repairs. It's always in need of repair. It was like falling down and we're like trying to fix things as fast as we can and trying to stay on top of that stuff. Basically, all of these things that took time and money and energy and attention, all good things, but they were all things that needed to be addressed, but they were all taking away from ministry and programs and things that God would be calling us to do, obstacles. And Sanballat is basically, this guy, he's pointing out all the obstacles. He's like, it's going to take you a long time. This project is too big. The destruction is too great. Hey, all of those things are going to slow you down. He said, I don't know if you've noticed them yet, but in case you are, you better watch out. These obstacles are going to get in your way. And when you and I try and make change, obstacles will come. So if you try and get out of debt, if you're like, we're going to get financially stable, we're going to get out of debt, we're going to make it, I promise you, your car is going to break down. And then a doctor bill is going to show up that you didn't know about. Like, oh, maybe you're like, you know what? It is time for me to start making the bed every morning. Like, this is a change that needs to take place. You make that change, you will sleep too late the next day. And you will wake up and you will have drooled all over your pillow. Like, oh, I got to put a new case on this thing. And you will have slept restlessly. Sheets will be everywhere. And you're like, day number one, obstacles. I'm not going to get my bed made. Like, I promise, whatever it is that you're trying to do, there will be obstacles that will jump up in the way. Things that will come from the outside that will slow you down. The other thing that will try and slow you down is criticism. So Sanballat attacks the obstacles. He's like, hey, here's the things that are going to get in your way. But then he starts attacking them personally. Hey, you're too weak. Oh, you are religious fools. This will not work. Your building skills aren't enough. It's not going to last. When we decide to make change, there will be criticism. Oh, you've tried to get your finances under control. You don't have the willpower or the discipline to do it. It is not going to work. Oh, you're going to be a better dad? You've messed your kid up so much right now, you're not going to recover. Oh, we're going to get water to the billion people on the earth that don't currently have access to it. Problem's too big. You're not smart enough to get water to all those people. There's not enough money to solve that problem. There's no way you're going to solve it. And if you start getting water to people, it will be such a little amount, even a little fox could drink it all. Right? Like, okay, so finally the fox thing makes sense. But, like, the critics will come and they'll say, oh, it's not going to work, and here's why. As a church, we face critics, trust me, as we try to develop this, like, things like, preaching's too shallow, music's too loud, music's not upbeat enough, your name excludes people, you spend too much money on things poorly, you don't focus on Jesus, you don't give enough to missions, you discriminate against certain age demographics. And all of those things have been said by people that don't even go to church here. Like, they read our website and they're like, oh, that's the problem. You don't know. They're like Tobiah, right?
Yeah, you're Fox.
Go away. We all reckon there will be critics. There will be people that try and attack from the outside and knock you down. And we've all heard, oh, you got to be like a duck. Just let it roll off your back. Ducks are really good at letting water roll off their back. They're not really good at letting rocks that you throw at them roll off their back. They sink almost every time. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing. That is not an encouragement to throw rocks at ducks. But criticism will come, and you will run into obstacles and criticisms, and you're trying to make change, and you take 3 steps forward, and then all of a sudden you got to take 2 steps back when it hits, and then you try and take 2 steps forward, and then you got to take 3 steps back, and now you're like, I'm right where I started. If you've been called to make a change, there will be obstacles and there will be criticisms. And what we have to do with those when that happens is we have to take those to God and say, God, here's the obstacle. Here's the thing that's getting in the way. God, you're going to have to deal with this thing. God, I don't know how to fix it. God, you're going to have to show me the solution for this obstacle. Or if somebody comes and it's a critic and they're tearing you down, you're like, okay, God, here's what they've said. Can you show me the truth in this? Is there truth in this? How do I use this? How do I ignore it? What do I do? And then after you've taken the obstacles and you've taken the criticism to God, then you just get back to work. Because what if Nehemiah would have been like, there's two mean guys and they're saying things to me, and just sat down on the wall? Done. But Nehemiah's like, hey, God, are you in this? God's like, yeah, I'm still here. And Nehemiah's like, all right, let's keep working. Let's keep getting after it. Doesn't mean it's not discouraging when there's obstacles or criticism. Doesn't mean that doesn't happen. But if we can anticipate it, if we know where it's going to come from and what it's going to look like, then it doesn't stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Second place that we can anticipate discouragement coming from is that discouragement will come from the inside. It's what Nehemiah faced. It's what we'll face. Back to the story. It says this. It says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot build the wall. When we're doing something significant, discouragement will come from the inside. It could be something within yourself. It could come from people around you. That's where Nehemiah was getting it, right? The people on his team were like, oh, we can't do this. Who do we think we are? We don't know how to rebuild a wall. Man, we don't know what this is going to take. These walls have been down for 100 years. And we're getting tired. The project's bigger than we thought it was going to be. Maybe what I'm about to tell you is something I shouldn't tell you. Maybe you're like, I don't even want to know this. But I tend to lean on this side where I'm going to tell you what I'm really struggling with or where I've really experienced success in my life. Here's the success this morning, and it may not seem like a big success until I go a little bit further, but the big success is that I'm standing here this morning. That's the success. Because about October of last year, the level of internal discouragement that I began to face was at levels of intensity that I'd never experienced before in my life. Essentially, last October, everywhere I looked in my life, all I saw was failing. Didn't matter. Everything. Other dads knew their kids better than I knew mine. I concluded, I'm a terrible dad. Other husbands better at loving their wives, supporting their wives, caring for their wives, supporting their wives. I concluded, terrible husband. I got to lead a couple meetings in October where basically they kind of blew up in my face and didn't work quite the way I thought, and I don't actually know that they were that bad. But at the time, I'm like, I cannot lead anything. But again, the church was flying. Things were going great. I was like, everything is working and it's growing. And I'm like, I can't change my schedule. I can't slow down or this thing will not work. I'm like, my job is beyond my capabilities. I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good husband. What in the world? My kids would be better off with a dad that didn't feel like a failure. My wife would be better off if she didn't have some guy that she had to prop up all the time. How could I possibly stand up there on a Sunday morning and be like, God is great. He wants to do great things in your life. I didn't want to live my own life. And all of those things that were causing the discouragement, they weren't reality. Like, yeah, maybe there were some things as a dad I could improve, but didn't mean I was a terrible dad. And maybe there's some things as a husband that I could get better at, didn't mean I was a terrible husband. Maybe I could rearrange my schedule, didn't mean... But all of those things were causing this doubt within me, personally and professionally, things that I knew I was called to do. But this internal discouragement was rising up, and I'm like, ah. Now, before you like start running for the doors, like, okay, so this is falling apart. It's not, because there's some amazing other people that are a part of this church that rallied around that, helped me gain new perspective, helped me bring guidance, or brought guidance, allowed me to begin to process all of that and work through that. Not through it, still processing and struggling with that, but the board and the leadership, they've come around and they're like, hey, let's help you get some resources to get you healthy and move you forward. But the key is this. When we decide to be a part of something that's significant that God wants to do, when God calls us to change something or improve a situation or help other people come to know him, discouragement will come from the outside, from the inside. It might be slow, it could be painful, I have to adjust how we're moving forward. But Nehemiah was like, I've faced discouragement. I've faced it from the outside. I've faced it from the inside. But thankfully, within that story, Nehemiah provides some steps to defeating discouragement. There will be times where you will not, that you might just have to walk away from a project, right? It's like, ah, okay, this the plan's not working. We just got to bail. Maybe the direction that you go, we're like, okay, we got to change that. But the key is this: don't make the reason that you give up on something be discouragement. There'll be times, right, where it's like, this isn't working. The situation isn't right, and we're just got to bail and walk away from something. There's times in history where that makes sense to walk away from something. Like, there was probably a point in history where somebody was like, you know what? We've got to help every single kid have access to encyclopedias, right? Like, if they don't have encyclopedias, how are they going to learn? Well, then as time changed, it began to be like, well, that doesn't make any sense anymore, right? Like, I'm not going to be discouraged because not every kid needs a great big stack of books that's going to go out of date, like, from the moment they print it. Well, get them an iPad, right? So, like, we don't need to be discouraged that every kid doesn't have encyclopedias. It's just gone, right? Like, let's move on to something new. There's times where you can move on, not because you're discouraged, but because the time is right. For example, I've always desired to be a great dancer. Like, I've wanted, I want to dance. Like, I want to be able to dance, and I've tried it, and I've worked at it, and I cannot get better at dancing, much as I've tried. I had this one guy, he came to me, and he's like, so you want to dance? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to be able to dance. He's like, okay, here's the deal. You played college basketball, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, here's what I want you to do. He's like, take your basketball skills, take the things that you do on the court, and he's like, just put it to the beat. And I was like, what? Put it to the beat? He's like, yeah. And then he's like, let me show you. And so he turns on some music, and he starts doing this basketball stuff. He was like better dancer than a basketball player, but he's like, here's how you would do it. And I was like, that looks pretty cool. I'm like, that's great. And I was like, I'm going to try it. In fact, my thought is this. I should show you. Yeah. Hit it. Hit it! Oh, goodness. See? The reason for me to stop doing that has nothing to do with discouragement. Like, honest evaluation says, never do that again. The right reason isn't discouragement. Your response is evidence enough. Don't. It's already on YouTube. Yeah. I should not do that 2 services in a row. Here's the deal. When you hear my story about what's been going on since October, my promise to you and what you have to decide for yourself is don't quit anything because of discouragement. So there might be a day where my time at this church is done, but it's not going to be based on discouragement. Don't quit something because you're discouraged. Stay plugged in. Keep moving through it. Work to it. But we've also got to find a way to not remain discouraged. Look at what Nehemiah did. There's some steps that Nehemiah took. Did I just get way off? Oh, here's the steps. Read this. It says this. Nehemiah said, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. He said, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Nehemiah was facing discouragement. So he names 2 things. He's like, here's the 2 things that we need to do. First thing is this, remember the Lord. Hey, we're trying to build a great big wall. It's huge. It's difficult. I get it. It looks like it's not going to be done. It's going to be hard. You want to get financially solid, and it's going to require some choices on your part. There's going to be some setbacks. Hey, you want to develop a church where not everyone's going to think you're doing it right? There's going to be some obstacles and there's going to be some doubters. But whatever the changes that you're trying to make, don't focus on the issues or the problems or the things that get thrown up in your face. Remember that you're doing this because there's this great and awesome God that calls you to do it. Hey, remember, there's this God that parted the Red Sea so that a million Israelites could escape slavery. Hey, remember, there's this God that's great and awesome, and he helped this little tiny shepherd boy named David defeat a great big giant who was threatening to destroy the Israelites. Hey, remember, there's this God that's given you a job again and again to pay bills. And maybe right now there's not a job, but he's done it in the past. Hey, remember, there's this God who has provided for all of your needs. Hey, remember, there was this God who packed the church out last year. We brought in a comedian and we laughed all morning long and were encouraged. Hey, remember, this is a God who moved in many of us last Christmas to give to our Christmas offering. And as a result of that, we've sent a group of kids, 20 people, to New York on a mission trip. We've purchased a hydraulic lift. We've supported families around our community financially. We've improved the quality of the technology in this room, a new screen and new sound system and iPads for check-in. Like, remember what God has done. Take your eyes off the issue, off of the obstacles in front of you. Remember the change that you're trying to make, and remember what God has done for you and for others in the past. Trust that God's not going to leave. He's not going to strand you right in the middle of the thing that he's called you to. Remember the Lord and that he's been great and awesome and he's moved before. Second step to fight discouragement is to fight for your cause. Nehemiah's like, hey guys, I know it's hard. I know we're working. I know you're tired. I know the project is big and I know you're hearing these other guys yelling things that we should doubt. Don't lose sight. Don't forget why we're building this wall. Don't forget what this wall is going to provide. If we get this wall built, it's going to bring a future for your boys. Hey, if we get this wall built, it's going to provide protection for your daughters. Hey, if we build this wall, your brothers are going to be able to develop their families behind this wall in safety. Hey, guys, if we keep building this wall and we keep lifting these rocks and we keep building, it's going to take a lot of effort and energy, and you are going to get big and buff, and your wives are going to think you are burly studs. Don't give up on the cause. Fight through it. Don't give up on this wall. Don't let discouragement take you down. Push through them. Overcome the obstacles. So fight to create a church where people can find opportunities to be transformed by God. Fight to be better parents because your kids deserve the best. Fight to become financially stable so that you can honor God with the way that he's blessed you and you can find ways to be generous with what he's entrusted to you. Fight to speak up for the innocent that can't speak for themselves and for people that don't have access to water. Why? Because we have the right, it's the right thing to do based on the position you and I have been given in this world. We have so much. Don't let discouragement be the thing that defeats you from the cause that God has called you to, because the cause is too great. Don't lose sight of why God is calling you to bring change and what he's laid on your heart. Each week in your program, we put these connect cards in there. And the goal is for you to be able to begin to think, okay, what am I going to do with this? What is God calling you to do as a result of you hearing this morning? Maybe you're dealing with discouragement. Maybe it's going to come in the future. Whatever it would be, what is God calling you to do? Maybe your next step is to identify the discouragement that you're experiencing. Maybe your next step is to believe that what you're doing is right, not wrong. Maybe your next step is to reflect and remember how the Lord has been great and awesome. Maybe your next step is to commit again to fight for the change that you see needs to happen. The band's going to come, and one last song. What is it that God is calling you to do that you need to put into place so that you can overcome the discouragement that you're facing? Let's pray. God, thank you that you don't just call us to be a part of change that doesn't matter, but you call us to be a part of change that's significant. Thank you that you've laid things on our heart. You've drawn us to things. Would you help us to anticipate discouragement, but then to trust and remember who you are, to fight for the cause, to not give up just because we're discouraged. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.